Booze, welcome to another episode of
Nobody Blended Cares. All right,
I hate it here.
All right, continue. I'm sorry.
I'm Sayo. Nice to meet you all. No, y'all done ruined my intro. Introduce yourselves.
Did you even say anything about Blended? Oh, whatever. I'm
DeAndre. Well, I was trying to, but you said nobody cares.
Oh, this Blended Views Unfiltered. DeAndre.
This is Nick. I'm sorry, they caught me in between. Y'all, and I ain't know he's going to hit me that fast.
Hey, question. Oh. What is that about? You look at me when I'm talking to you. Look, Sile.
What?
Look, this way. All right, I'm going to stare at your forehead. All right. Do y'all think if Jesus...
Please grow up. You are a child.
Do y'all think that if Jesus was walking this earth or was here or on earth, that he would utilize social media?
Imagine Jesus posting like his feet after he got some new shoes. I was like, walk on water 12. Like, no, why would Jesus use social media?
I'm just saying. I think he would.
And say what? What would his first post be?
I mean, he'd do what he was doing back in the Gospels, but he just doing it on a bigger scale now.
What would the caption be?
Same captions. I mean, I would think it would just say the same stuff he was saying.
Like after he turned water into wine?
Yeah.
Post a pic, say it's lit.
I don't know. That's a good question.
No,
I don't
know.
He might, probably not.
Anytime they gave, turned fish into, well, you know, gave to the multitude, he would say it's giving.
You're annoying.
Nah. No, actually, I don't.
It's giving. It's giving.
Actually, I take it back. I don't think he would be on social media.
Like, why would Jesus be on social media?
He'd be a modern day monk.
He would. Well, because, you know, one thing, Jesus was like Jesus was a real G. He moved in silence.
He did.
So I don't think he would be on social media.
He did.
Like what Wayne say, real G's move in silence like lasagna. That's how Jesus was. Every time he did a miracle, he told people, don't tell nobody.
Mm-hmm. And just moved on.
He just kept moving. Most people need to be like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I can't take credit for that. I got that question off Jay Oliver. He put the question on Facebook today. So I was like, man, that's a good question, actually.
I don't think he will be. Yeah. But being that in the day and age of social media, he would be way, I think he'd be so much more popular because people would just be talking about.
That's true.
But he didn't do it.
Yeah. Whole world be Christians. It wouldn't be nothing else. He'd probably be promoting polygamy.
I don't know about that one.
It's not blasphemy because, like, that's the way it was back in the day, even in Jesus' time. He was a polygamist.
I don't know about that one, though.
A queen created monogamy.
I'm leaving.
It's true.
Yep.
It's true. All right, look, here's a good topic, right? Question. Do you guys feel that it is hard or easy to be the bigger person?
Both. No. I think it depends on the situation, how often you have to. Why do you keep trying to interrupt? You love doing that.
Cut the crap.
I'm not. No,
it's always hard to be the bigger person.
I don't think it is.
Unless
I feel
me,
like
I'm
sometimes it's not hard to be the bigger person. I said, what did you just say?
I said, I'm always the bigger person. Go ahead and laugh. I know you want to laugh.
It's not funny.
You're always big shaming me. Go ahead, continue.
Okay. Can never be serious. In my personal opinion, I feel like a little bit of both. So, like, it definitely depends on the situation for me. The situation... How often I feel like I always got to be the bigger person. Like if I feel like this is a recurring thing where mm-hmm. I feel like I'm always the bigger person. I don't know. And then sometimes like me being the bigger person makes me feel good about myself, situation giving. But other times it is hard because it's like there is maybe sometimes where it's like I don't want to be the bigger person. I want to feel how I'm feeling and I don't want to be the bigger person. So yeah, that's why I say a little bit of both.
I think it's very hard to always, I'm always the bigger person because it's just my.
Are you speaking literally and figuratively?
Literally. No, not literally, but figuratively.
Oh.
So I'm typically always the bigger person. I let stuff brush off my.
I'm not even saying anything.
I just heard you laughing. There's so many times I want to clap back at somebody that I know. I wish I could say something. I wish I can post on they page or something like that. But sometimes I just don't. I don't need the drama. So I'm typically always the bigger person. Okay, I gave you an opportunity to laugh on that one. I'm typically the bigger person. I think it's always harder. I agree with you. I think that you feel better being a bigger person, but I don't think it's easy always taking the high road. Some people deserve that clap back, but is it worth it? Sometimes I ask myself.
I feel like I don't feel like it always feels good to be the bigger person. I feel like it sucks. Yeah. Not from the standpoint that they get the satisfaction of getting theirs, whatever they got off, but more so it's like, why am I being forced to internalize? Like, I'll sit back and be like, thinking like, man, they deserve everything that I would 100% do to them or say to them, but I'm not saying it. I'm not going to do it. And although like the world may congratulate me on that, I'm still sitting here feeling what I'm feeling. And that sucks.
Yeah. But then how do you feel afterwards? Like after you say you do clap back, you don't feel a type of way like after you've come out of character per se, said all of this stuff.
That may be situational. Depending on who it is and what it's about, what it's pertaining to, I wouldn't feel bad.
Situational?
It's definitely situational. Other times I would probably maybe feel bad, but that would be temporary compared to how I feel when I don't do anything and I'm just the bigger person. And I feel like once you do it so many times, it's like, all right, at this point, I'm causing more stress and mess with myself by not.
That's what I said.
Addressing this person, if it's from the same person or just in general, because, you know, it's like, all right, now at some point I'm going to explode on somebody because I'm just out here being a bigger person.
My whole thing is this, you don't always have, like being a bigger person is typically, I think people confuse the two. I think that sometimes being a bigger person and taking the silent road is not always the better road. Like, I think you can be the bigger person by still saying what needs to be said and not disrespectfully. I think if somebody says something to you directly, a lot, like I had to change what I was, when I said I'm usually a bigger person, I'm typically thinking about stuff that's not directly spoken my way, but I want to put a comment on it. But I think that some stuff, if it's like direct disrespect, is a way that you can handle the situation without, like, I think some people need to say something. Some people need to hear your voice because sometimes, quote unquote, being the bigger person, taking a high road might not be the best decision in certain situations.
I think it's more tough for me when it's people that you know that they are surrounded by yes people.
Oh, yeah.
So you know that there's nobody that's going to hold them accountable to the things that they say and do. And it's like, man, these jokes are about to go over there, spin the version however they want to, and ain't nobody going to tell them otherwise.
Yeah.
I think it's terrible.
But is that considered being a bigger person, though, or is that just you? I'm not about to be one of your yes men.
Well, not so much. So, I mean, from the standpoint, like, let's say a certain person says something to you or does something crazy, right? And instead of you reacting a certain kind of way, you just like, you know what? I'm gonna let them have that. Now, you don't really necessarily have to have relation with this individual, whether you do or don't, but they go back to their normal crew, circle, world, whatever. But in their world, in their bubble, they're not surrounded by anybody who would ever hold them accountable for their actions. So you don't have to be in direct relation with them in any shape, form, or fashion, but, you know.
I think sometimes we let go of situations that needs at least a level of communication.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many times that somebody might do something to you, say something to you. It's like, we might take the approach, I'm going to let them have that. But they might walk away thinking a certain way that I feel like you could be the bigger person by at least addressing how that situation affected you or how it made you feel. And then let that be it. But I mean, I think too many people don't say anything, and it's like it's a reoccurring situation because we don't speak up on how we feel.
I agree. So, like, being a bigger person, right? More oftentimes than not, would you say that you're the bigger person in most situations that you deal with?
Yeah, a lot of them.
And yeah. How did that make you feel?
Situational. So sometimes I felt, you know, like I wasn't mad that I chose to be the bigger person, or I wasn't like a, damn, I should have went off or blah, blah, blah. But then like other times it was like a batch. Like I should have let you have it. So it's like 50-50, like what I said. Like it's, I don't know. It definitely depends on the situation, the occurrence of how many times I feel like I'm being the bigger person. Does it make me feel?
I think it's cliched when I hear people, a lot of older people say it all the time too. You should be the bigger person. It's the right thing to do. I feel like it takes years off your life.
It's not always the right. It's not always.
That's what I be feeling like.
And it's I don't feel like you should be the bigger person all the time either.
It's not always the right thing. So I agree with you. Being a bigger person is not always the right thing. Some people need to have a conversation respectively. Mm-hmm. If I do something to you, like there's plenty of situations that I said they can have. I took the bigger, quote unquote, you know, being the bigger person. And I feel like it probably would have been handled if I would have, you know, confronted the situation respectively.
Yeah.
So it's like not saying something sometimes leaves a situation up to too many. Well, maybe he feels like this. Maybe she feels like this. Maybe she's cool. Maybe he's not cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you never, I think it's best to let you know how I feel. And then in that situation, it's like, you can't walk away and say, well, I didn't know you felt like that. Yeah. Or I thought you was cool. No, I told you how I felt.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that sometimes being the bigger person is not always the better person. I think it's circumstantial.
Yeah, so I think that's a general consensus between us all then.
Absolutely.
All circumstantial. Although we probably lean more towards being bigger people.
I tell you this, there's a lot of stuff I see on Facebook that I would love to put my opinion on.
Yeah.
It's like, do I want that conversation? A lot of stuff I disagree with.
Because it's crazy how some people feel like justify the things that they say or their actions. And you can argue, you know, or debate until you blue in the face. It ain't gonna change the way that these people act. That's the bad part about it. It's way too many adults, grown people walking around that don't hold themselves accountable to the things they say and do. And it's almost like nobody takes time to actually self-reflect. I think that's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. But especially, I think that this generation, and I think that like this generation's adult is like the level of accountability around like our age. I'm talking like from maybe the age of 27 to about maybe 34, 35. Like that little small gap, I feel like it's like, I don't know. It's like, man, it's like a victim mindset. A lot of people.
Oh, trust me, it's past 34.
I'm just talking
about 37 like, and it's pretty bad.
I'm just talking.
Don't even start.
Now, the reason why I say that, and I don't mean to get off topic. Me and Shamar was talking one day and I was like, man, like, I don't know if our parents was too easy on us and created us to be more dependent on our parents. Like, not genuinely everybody, but there's a lot of people. Let me not say a lot of people. A lot of people I know, it's just like very dependent on different things. It just seemed like this. It's like the generation before us, like they got to it a lot better.
Yeah.
Like they, you know, at a young age had a house, had stuff like that. It's like our generation is so dependent and it's like they blame a lot. Mm-hmm. And that could be just how I feel. I don't know.
No, it's a lot. Wait till this generation, like my oldest daughter's age, wait till them jokers start getting in their 20s. It's going to be bad, man.
They say it always do a cycle. They say, what's the saying I heard? Bad times create strong men. Mm-hmm. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. Weak men create bad times. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's a cycle of what we create by times being easier that our parents kind of like, they worked hard, but they created such an easy time for us.
Yeah.
That we ain't got to work hard.
And then just handing stuff out to these kids and the whole, I hate hearing, I want to make sure that my kid wants for nothing. I think that statement is taken out of context so much because there's a difference because like, how are you supposed to actually instill and teach these kids how to be on their own once they get out if you want to just give them everything? And I feel like a lot of like, especially like my generation, your generation, like it's more of, let me make sure my kid has everything that I didn't get and didn't have. Let me just give it to them. I'm gonna work myself to death to make sure that they don't have and want for nothing, but then they don't have any work ethic or appreciation for anything.
Yeah.
I heard something today the dude said, let me see if I can get it right. The stages of parenting, 0 to 5 is discipline. 5 to 10 is teaching. 10 to 15 is training. And then once they get to 18, that's when you can be their friend. But the issue is everybody takes friend and they put that from 0 to 10. And then they try to instill discipline there, but it's too late. And that's why we're at where we're at now, because no one actually take these stages and actually implement them how they're supposed to be. It's just kind of like whatever I went through. It could have been a great childhood, traumatized childhood. It's kind of like across the board. There's so many. Yeah, I'm sure y'all see it. A lot of kids cussing out their parents. These kids be 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Don't let them be teenagers. They be fighting their parents nowadays. I mean, it's probably always happened to some degree, but now it's like parents are terrified of their kids. So,
I ain't trying to be one to bash people because I'm not a parent yet, but I feel like this generation's parent, like there's good parents out there. I'm not saying like all, but like there's a large amount of bad parents these days.
Yeah.
And I'm not generalizing. There's good ones out there. If you're watching this, I'm not saying that y'all are bad parents by all means. But I see a lot of misdirected kids these days.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Especially like in our culture, too. In our culture, we glorify the wrong things.
People think that just because you can give your kid a lot of stuff makes you a good parent.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, in my opinion.
Because all you're doing is teaching them to be, which was something that I was actually going to bring into. You're teaching them how to be transactional versus transformative. You're either going to be one of the two in your life. You're going to be a transactional type person, and that's going to be across the board, or you're going to be transformative. And you'll definitely be able to tell the two. And that comes into like how you communicate once you get older with people. People will begin to see that if you're just a transactional person. What can you give me? Then maybe I'll give you a little bit of me in this area. But if you're all transactional, you'll never ever really have a real genuine connection with somebody at all. Not an emotional one. It'll all be based off material and what you can do for me versus how can I be transformative to make you better, make myself better. That's what we run into nowadays.
Yeah.
Are you a transactional individual?
Mm-mm.
Yes. How can we change that about you, Sile?
Excuse me?
How can we change that about you?
I said no.
Sometimes it's not good to ask the person directly how they are, because most people lie to themselves, which means they're going to lie to you.
Anywho, I have a question because you're foolish. So I was watching this video on lunch break today, and it was this lady, and y'all all know who Sexy Red and Sukiyana is. So no. Sexy Red is Pound Town chick. My coochie pink, my booty hole brown. Sure. Y'all know who that is?
Sure. What is it called?
I'm sure I've played this song for
the
y'all.
The Bussy?
Before.
The Boosie?
What?
What was it? The
It is not
the
Bussy.
The Bussy.
No. Bussy was the man. Anyways, do you know, like, you know who that is?
I guess, yeah.
You know who that is?
I've heard you talk about them.
Yeah.
I don't You've know seen the video.
Is the one girl, the one girl, is that the girl that I've been getting at Dr. Umar? The other girl you said?
Sukiyana?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, is it?
That well, she looked like she's Chinese a little bit.
No.
Ain't that Ice Spice?
No.
Oh.
I'll see if I can find her. But I know one of them been kind of like flirting on the topic of getting with Dr. Umar.
Yeah?
Oh, God. Anywho, so there are women who rap about very raunchy things, but like very, very like it's filthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this video and she was pretty much saying how she can't get on this wave of like the sexy reds and the Sukianas because she feels like it is a misrepresentation of the black woman. And do you guys agree with that? S-U-K-I-H-A-N-A, I think.
Do I believe what? What do you say?
Were your listening ears off?
I was. No, I was listening, but yeah, are you asking, do I agree with the lady? I
think this is the girl that I'm getting at.
That these women are a misrepresentation of.
Yeah, because it was like, I was even reading the comments and some people was like, well, people, I don't care about y'all calling me not fun because I can't like get down with this, but y'all can have it. She was calling it like filthy trash music, which it is.
I was watching this hip hop joint, right? And they were highlighting women in hip hop. And
on Netflix?
Yes.
I watched that.
I was watching that. And you know, so when they said, I think it was maybe the last episode, and they were saying, talking about the topic of how women are more open. Mm-hmm. With their sexuality and all this other stuff. And they were, of course, glorifying it because it's like women should be able to express themselves because if a man does it, you know, because I think they brought up Snoop. When Snoop had kind of said, well, I don't think it's attractive for a woman to do this, that, and that. And then, but then they pulled up his lyrics and was like, all right, but it's all right for you to talk about that of a woman, her pussy, her this, that, but she can't say it. But I think it just goes back to like, yeah, but if I'm trying to marry you, I mean, I kind of don't want you like out there like that. I mean, it kind of goes to like, if you a hoe and you doing X, Y, Z, it's less likely that you're going to get a man to be like, you know, and I don't care what social media shows or these reality TV shows show, because all that is scripted. So before anybody be like, well, she with it, that's all scripted. Okay, for real, these jokers really ain't getting wiped up until they chill out. Or, but you also have a lot of these jokers rap about this stuff, but they really they don't ain't, live that life. They ain't living like that lifestyle. That, they got these women out here living real foolish.
Mm-hmm. The reality of it is this, they get paid more to be like that.
Yeah.
And you look at people like Lotto. When Lotto first came in the game, she was not raunchy like that. No, she was actually rapping to be rapping.
Yeah.
She blew up when she started being raunchy.
Mm-hmm.
Cardi could rap, but the songs that blow up is the more raunchy. Like Pound Town is trash. I'm gonna be honest with you.
It is trash.
Lyrically wise, music wise, if you are a fan of hip hop, a true fan of hip hop, Pound Town is trash. Yes. How is this song trending?
Because it's catchy.
Because it's raunchy. Let's call it raunchy. There's nothing about catchy. There's nothing catchy and about Pound Town. That song is trash.
Yes.
No, I don't agree that it's not trash. I do agree. It is catchy, though.
Man, that song is not catchy.
What's the part that everybody know? My booty hole, bruh.
Is it catchy or is it just super, like, people cool with just rapping this trash?
Both.
I don't know.
But I do agree, though, it is a poor representation of the black woman because at the end of the day, we scream, black men and black women scream this whole we're not X, Y, and Z to all these other cultures. Yet, we go out and we put music out, videos out, we got TikToks filled with all this nonsense, and we are the ones looking a hot got doggone mess.
Exactly. Yeah, she's like, no other like race or culture glorifies like the trash of like their culture. She's like, you'll never see like white people like blowing up trailer trash.
Mm-hmm.
Or say like, this is just the stuff that she was saying. Know. She was like, we are the only race that, you know, glorifies this and makes this normal. And
but it's also part of the agenda too. Because you'll listen to a lot of the retired rappers or older and they'll say like, yeah, you go in there and you want to like, you'll give them 12 songs and they'll listen and be like, ah, not good enough. But if you talk about liquor, shaking ass and titties and killing your homie for this, that, and other. Now that we can get with. So they got to come out with songs like that in order to get to a certain status, or else these labels won't put it out because it won't look right with a white person doing that.
It's all a part of the agenda, man. It's to paint this picture, keep us looking a certain way,
and it works.
You look at people like Cardi B. If you look at people like Cardi B, Cardi B's don't even let her daughter listen to her music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about that. If you're making music that's too explicit for your kids and you don't even want your kids to do this stuff, then that shows you that she's not even cool with what she's putting out. A lot of these billionaires create stuff that they give us that their kids, man, like Steve Jobs' kids ain't got no cell phones.
Nah.
Jeff Bezos' kids ain't got cell phones and all this different stuff. The stuff that we glorify in our culture, the other cultures don't do that stuff.
Even social media.
Social media. These kids ain't got social. Like
that whole documentary there, the execs for Twitter, Facebook, and it was something else. It's like, no, we don't do none of that in our house. Exactly. Because we know what we created to program people. We knew to stay away from it.
I say this all the time, and people can look at me and they, I think that all people in our culture need to step out and take a page out of it. Like, get some white friends. Maybe not just white friends. Get some Spanish friends. Get some, whether it's, you know, Middle Eastern friends. Get some friends outside of your culture.
Yeah.
And take a page out of how they do things. It's like, we think that it's like our way of life is like, this is the way we do. Well, we never look at like, okay, how do they do things? It's like some of the stuff that's like we do is just like, yo, where did this stuff come from?
I was talking to my daughter today, and right?
Making a plate at a cookout.
What?
I can't stand black people making plates at cookouts.
Oh, I'm going to take me a plate home.
Did you put some food in?
I hope you're not showing up empty handed.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh.
I'm talking about, I've been to parties with people.
Oh, no, I feel real comfortable. Yeah. If I brought something, which I did, I'm definitely taking me a plate. I'm taking
I don't take
two
a plate unless somebody tell me to. I didn't watch people take plates on sides.
Bring some Tupperware so they can take some stuff.
Man, people walk in your house, where's the aluminum foil? If you don't get out of my
Well, like I was talking to my daughter today. It was first day of school. And yesterday she was sending me all kind of like, look, I got this outfit. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. She said, what do you think? I said, does it really matter? I mean, who cares? And then today I talked to her. I said, so how'd your outfit fare? She was like, oh, it was cool. She was like giving me the rundown. My friend wore this. She was like, but such and such, she started talking about white folk, like such and such and such and such. I mean, he just came in shorts and a t-shirt, and this chick, she just came in like sweats and this. They're rich. And I said, listen, I said, did you catch that? So these extremely wealthy individuals don't give a dang about showing up in no Jordans, no Gucci. They come in as is, while our culture is out here like, oh, we got to send our kids to school with this. You got to look this way. You got to do that. You spending all of this god doggone money, especially on that first week of school, all so your kid can go to school
and play around in these Jordans.
Listen, come and the home. Younger the kid is, that be my thing. That's how I am with my kids. Now, my kids' moms, I tell you, y'all can get that stuff all you want to, but the expensive joints, I ain't got time for it.
Instead of my kids,
I ain't with that
some,
whole like
some Skechers.
My kid got to look a certain kind of way because I'm this, and that's like.
More
so this
5, 6, 7, 8 year old,
this 4 year old, you about to send them to school knowing they about to be out there in the playground and they don't give a good god dang about no Nike, no Jordan, no nothing else.
So we're sending them to school with them Shaqs.
You dang on right. Not the Shaqs though.
Man, Shaq made a deal with Walmart to give affordable kids shoes.
Yes.
Do they even still sell Shaqs?
Yes. Probably, I don't know. They do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Shaq passed up on a deal from Reebok, $1 million deal. Sending my kids to school with some Shaqs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you with it?
You still making them.
I don't have any children.
But you got a niece.
But you get children.
You
Shaqs?
Got a niece?
No.
You send a Kari with some Shaqs?
What you going to put on her? Some Jordans?
You going to leave me hanging?
Yes, because I said no.
Either way, it just shows how our culture is. Because you don't be seeing, unless these white folk want to be black, you don't see nobody. You don't see these jokers. Seriously, the ones that want to be black, they be on the same joke. But all down your tile, I'm sure you've seen all these fresh fits. They really don't care that the kid is going to school on their first. They just want to show off what outfit and what shoes they got on. That's really what it is.
I'm about to say something. I'm about to stir up some feathers.
You love.
You know what?
Kitchen,
you know what? Man. What I lose respect with people, and this is a real life. If I see you and you dripped out, and you ain't got no car, I lose respect. You dripped out. You living with your mama, I lose respect. You dripped out and you ain't got a pot to piss in, but you fresh. I lose respect for people like that. Like, I know so many people, like, you be fresh, and you know how people pose for their stuff. And you know what I'm saying? They got the Jordans matching the shirt and all this different stuff. And then it's like, okay, that's pretty slick. Where you live at? Oh, you ain't even got no address. Oh. I lose respect for them type of people. My wife asked me a question, you know, weeks ago. She said, like, if you was to go back, you know, what was something you would tell your younger self? And I would tell myself to stop caring. The things that you care about now will not matter in the future. And you should care about things that you think that don't matter. Like stop caring about your, to an extent, your appearance as much as like your priorities is off.
Yeah.
And try to build, because people don't care. Like, you think that people care about how you look, and that's partially true, but your image of me, I don't care about your image of me. I like to be comfortable. Now, granted, I like to look nice, you know, like we said, the haircut is in the budget. It'll be in the budget. Because I do respect a man that respects himself as a parent. But that don't mean spend thousands of dollars on stuff. Half the designer stuff for men is trash.
Yeah.
I said it. It's trash. I don't know why niggas be walking. Excuse me. Hey, you bleep that. I don't know why dudes be walking around here with these designer shoes, these bulky designer shoes, and swear they be fresh because they cost $1,000. Them is trash.
I agree.
Now, women designer stuff is different, but it's a lot of stuff that I think people think that they killing the game when it's like your priorities is off, man. But hey, maybe that's just where we live at. Cats would rather look rich than be rich.
That's true. I've been watching a show called Billions. I think you like that show, actually. Okay. You need to check the joint.
What's that on?
Paramount.
Okay. I think
Paramount Showtime.
I don't got that.
I got that jailbreak. I got everything.
Either way, that show Billions, fire. So I'm watching this joint, and this billionaire is sitting there asking his kids. He's like talking to the wife about, well, if we do this in the business and this, then he looks at his son and goes, "What happens?" And the sons are like 8 and 10, and they start running down the plays of what go on in business and then stocks and then with money. He asks them all kind of questions, and they know how to work. And I'm just like, this is the kind of stuff. This ain't just TV. I done been around. I got white friends, you know. I done been around some of the kids and the well-off ones, and I'm just like, I'm guilty of it. Like, they kids sound different than my kids. Because the stuff that they know, that they pick up from they doggone parents, I'm just like, that's what made me do some of the things different, like in parenting, when it comes, like, it's never too early to get them ready for the real world.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, I believe in that now. Even you go all the way back to, like, guns. We had the gun range. You got a 6-year-old in there shooting a rifle. You know what I mean? And knows how to, like, with precision, knows how to unload. I mean, so it's just like certain things that other cultures do. And then we stay glorified on this same crap constantly. And that's why we stay in this huge hole. And we always got to climb out of that joint constantly.
Yeah.
I don't know. We just need to change the narrative.
Now, you just said something that's key. It's never too early to get them ready for life.
Mm-mm.
Don't nothing make me more upset than seeing grown folks that are still struggling with, like, minor life issues.
Yeah.
Like, you get to a certain point, like, you still struggling with that? Like, you 39 years old. You still have a relationship problem?
Yeah.
But you still got credit problems? You 50. No, that ain't that. Why is it
that,
a forever?
Yeah, that shouldn't be a forever thing.
Yeah, you 45 and you can't get qualified for a car.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a forever.
Like, what are you doing? Mm-mm. Like, start fixing stuff in life. Like, people, get on your kids about getting that credit immediately. Because that's where I took a fall. I ain't learned credit till I needed it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, when damn you need it, it's like, dang, I wish I knew this years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that's our people, man. We don't tend to start looking at things until it's a necessity.
And a lot of people take offense to a lot of that stuff because they either can't do it or won't do it, which is crazy. This is a good question for y'all. Can you guys be corrected without being offended?
Mm-hmm. It depends on what it is.
Why does it depend on what it is?
Because it depends on who corrected. Like, if Sal would say, Nick, you need to lose some weight. I'm just using that as an example. I know I need to lose some weight.
Why you don't never put Dre's name in the Dre sentence with weight? Me. I don't say anything to you about your weight.
That's the thing. You don't say nothing, but I can, like, you can feel what somebody thinks.
What I be thinking about?
Like, I might make a joke about myself, and I could. You ever just feel somebody staring at you? And I could just feel, like, Silas stare just penetrating my soul. I'm just kidding about that. Yes, I could be corrected without feeling.
Without being offended.
Without being offended, absolutely. Most of the time I can.
I feel like the average person cannot. They get offended when they're being corrected. And just because you've grown don't mean you can't be offended. I feel like if you enter a friendship, a relationship, like romantic relationship, a partnership, you should be expecting to get corrected about something because nobody is perfect. And you also have a different ways of course, upbringing and different ways of like doing things. So you take credit or kids like when it comes to parenting or just life in general, everyday life, right? You should be able to be corrected about some stuff. Even when we go back to what we were talking about earlier, the whole, you know, your like whoever you surround yourself, like you should be able to have friends that correct you when you do something crazy. But more times than not, everyone gets offended over being corrected, no matter if it's a good delivery or a bad delivery with the correction.
I feel like if first and foremost, I think that I heard a person say like correction, let's use correction or like any type of thing that you got to confront or just tell somebody something. It shouldn't be like you shouldn't say something faster than your love, which means it's like you got to show that person that you love them before you show them correction. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Don't let your correction travel faster than your love. But vice versa. I feel like if you're being corrected by a person that you know love you and you feel like, you know, offended about it, then you got deeper problems.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if you know a person love you and they coming from a place of love, no matter, you know what I'm saying? Then it's like, either you agree or you disagree. If you disagree with something that's obvious, then it's like you dealing with something far, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it might be insecurity. It might, like, if somebody was to tell you, hey, your credit is messed up, you should fix it. Like, I don't need to fix my credit. Okay, then it ain't the credit you're dealing with. It's something else you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And it's like, you need to figure that out.
It's facts. I got one more question for y'all. Do you guys think that your reputation is a good representation of who you really are?
Yeah.
I would say so.
I do.
Why?
Because I feel like, as far as I know, my reputation is who I am. I hear the same consistent things about myself. It's who I am. So I think so. I feel like patterns that I've done or that I've had created a reputation for me, and this is who I am. Yeah, I haven't heard of course, like everybody got somebody probably spreading some rumors, but consistently I hear the same things about myself, no matter like who you ask. It's like consistently, like you get the same me. Like,
would you ever change anything about it? Like you hear your reputation, although it's good, would you ever want it, or do you ever think like, man, it could be better? Would you ever want something added in there that would cause you to change?
Yeah, I feel like there's always room for improvement. So I feel like I'm like described as like pretty great now, but I could be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. Fantastic.
So your reputation is like you're a great person.
Yeah, but I feel like it. Have you heard different?
I was just saying that sounds kind of narcissistic.
No, it's not. It is what it is. What is your reputation about yourself?
I'm a big dude.
Is it true?
You tell me.
You tell me. You, that's your body. You look at it every day. Is the reputation lining up with reality?
I would say so.
All right, then. You always want to do this. No, but I think I got a pretty good reputation. I think it is like, yeah, I think it lines up. What about you, girlfriend?
I think I got a good reputation. I think I'm a solid person. I think that you can't say nothing bad about me. If somebody says something bad about me, they just don't like me. There's room for improvement. I do. I want to be known for a more execution reputation. I feel like I'm known to have great ideas. But I want to change that known. Like, I don't want to die with my people saying, like, oh, Nick had the best ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I want to let me know, like, man, Nick did some great things.
I feel like, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Were you done?
Sort of.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I tell my wife this all the time. I learn the most when I go to funerals.
Oh, like, when they have it in the obituary, like, he liked football. Yeah. He went to this college.
It made me sad, honestly. Yeah. When people, you read their obituary and some of the stuff that they, is just so general, because you could tell like this is stretched. It's almost like they couldn't find nothing that this man accomplished or this woman accomplished, that we had to create some generalities. Like, he was an avid Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Like, if that's the best you can put in my obituary, then I did nothing to change this world. if somebody put the best thing that they could put in my obituary is Nick was the fun person to be around. He was a great, he had great ideas, and I failed myself. Mm. I've robbed this world of the impact that I could have gave it. Mm. That's all I had to say.
I feel like even though I feel like I'm a pretty great person, I do realize I'm not everybody's cup of tea either. And I'm also okay with that.
No, I mean, I like you, but what I can see if people would say that. What do you mean by that?
I feel like I don't think that there's one person that everybody just likes, no matter how great you are. People always find something to, you know.
I have to agree with you wholeheartedly. If everybody like you, then nobody likes you.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're doing something wrong. And that's what I'm saying. Like, as great of a person that I think I am and that a lot of people think, I also realize that I'm not everybody's cup of tea, too. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. And it's crazy that you brought this up because I was thinking about this morning. Like, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Like, I know I'm amazing, but there's somebody out there that's probably like, she get on my goddamn nerves. I can't stand her. It's like, oh, well, wow.
But should you? That's actually good, and I agree with you. But should you be everybody's cup of tea?
No.
I don't think you should.
But some people care about everyone liking them, though.
But if everybody likes you, then nobody loves you.
But that, okay, that makes sense to us. But there are people that is walking this earth that cares if, you know, they like...
Everybody's opinion matters.
Yes.
But the problem with that, and I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing, but I'm saying, like, the problem with that is that you can't be iconic like that. Like, you'll always be the lowest denominator to everybody. Mm-hmm. Like I heard this example. Like if you was to walk in a room full of 30 people and you ask everybody, well, what kind of pizza you want? And everybody's shooting out, hey, get a veggie, get a meat lovers, get this and that, get a... To make everybody happy, you got to get the lowest form of pizza, the cheese pizza. So with that being said, it's like if you try to make everybody happy, you have to lower yourself. You can't really speak on how you feel. Mm-hmm. You can't really have an opinion because you're going to make somebody... I'm scared to offend this person. I'm scared. Like... Say what you want about Trump. People hated him, but people love Trump.
Yeah.
Like, people hate Kim Kardashian, but people love Kim Kardashian. Mm-hmm. Like, you can think of anybody that's hated in this world. There's a large majority of people that absolutely love the ground that they walk on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, you could be liked by a lot of people, but you can never be loved by many.
It's true.
Like, you shouldn't make everybody happy. I can't be my true self making everybody happy. Some people might, Nick joke too much. And if I try to dumb myself down to this person, then I wouldn't be who my wife loves.
Yeah.
Because the Nick that she fell in love with might be the person that you hate.
Yeah.
So if I try to make you happy, I wouldn't make her happy. And if I try to, like, y'all enjoy me being me. But if I walked in the room, you have a good time when I'm around this place. You have a good time. You know when I ain't here.
Well, duh, because your chair's empty.
Yeah, you ain't laughing as hard. But what I'm saying is this. What makes me loved by people, my man Dre, since Sal don't love me, what makes me loved by, you know, people can rub other people the wrong way.
Yeah, okay.
And if I'm trying to make them happy, I can't be loved by who loves me. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. I agree with you wholeheartedly. We're not everybody's cup of tea, and I don't think that you should be.
Yeah, no? that's a good thing.
Yeah.
What about you, Stinky Butt?
What about me?
Do you think that your reputation like matches up with who you are?
Well, we're not gonna get past this nickname, Stinky Butt.
What?
She ain't been down there. I don't want nobody to play back.
Ew.
Go ahead, Stinky Butt.
Yes, I do though. I do. As long as we ain't talking about women. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What did you say?
So long as we ain't talking about women. Yeah. I think so.
What does that mean?
My reputation. Nah, I'm joking. It is good across. It is good. You know, just. I think it is a good representation of who I am for those who speak of me. Yes, highly, and it is. But I also do think I'm a type of person where I self reflect a lot. Probably I always say more than I should, but then other times I have to correct that because I do it every day. So I'm always trying to improve and do better. And I'm aware of all of my shortcomings and downfalls that I do daily because I am not perfect. So I do try to add to that reputation. And I agree with Nick when I do think about like I rewrote my obituary 2 weeks ago. And
wow, you wrote your obituary.
Even rewriting it, I'm like, man, it's a lot of things missing in here that I would like to be highlighted, you know, when I pass away. So it's like I got more work to do. You know what I mean? So there's plenty that I could add to it. But I would say that it is a good representation of who I am. I do agree with both of y'all, though, that being everybody's cup of tea ain't good. I was talking to a friend the other day, and Joker called me thinking I was going to be like a yes man, and I was just... It's like I'm the wrong person to call with that because I'm gonna always give it to you straight. And although it came across a little harsh, because of based on what we were talking about and what the Joker did, it did come across harsh. But he was just like, you know, not a lot of people can handle you, Dre. But I'm grateful that although you kind of put me in my place and corrected me like this, like it was needed, or else I would have. My follow through, I would have did something that I wasn't supposed to do. You know what I mean? So I know not everyone can handle me because depending on the situations, I may approach you a little different than most people would. And I know that. I'm good with that. So I may offend somebody and they may never talk to me again. But at some point in their life, they're going to realize that Joker was right. You know, or that Joker had my best interest at him. And I was just being stubborn. You know what I mean?
I think
you are like a good person to have in the person's life. You are.
So I wrote, I heard a person. Sometimes when I hear random, it makes me itch. Like sissy. So when I hear random, like good, like quotes, I usually write them down. I heard a person say, actually, my brother, one time we was talking and, you know, we talking about iron, like iron sharpening iron. And he's iron sharpens iron because of friction. Friction keeps people sharp, but also sharp people cut people. Mm. So I think that people are not hip to the real what iron sharpening iron really looks like.
Yeah,
like to sharpen an iron, it's a lot of friction that goes on. But like you said, like friction, it makes you sharp.
Yeah,
and the sharper you are, you're gonna cut some people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people don't understand about being around people that's gonna keep you like grounded, keep you straight. I can't stand people that don't like to be around people like that.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to take the conversation another direction, but it's like one of my pet peeves is people that don't take accountability. And I think that people like to surround themselves with people that don't challenge their thinking. Like, I can't stand people that just the average person that thinks average, that don't look outside the box and sees everything for, you know, face value and never think, you know what I'm saying? Them type of people. I would much rather be around people that think a little bit beyond what's being shown. Mm-hmm. But I got a question for y'all, too. Just going back on the obituary. If y'all died today, would y'all be happy with what your obituary says?
Nah, I want more.
I definitely want more, but, like, leading up to, like, if I wasn't able to get more, like, of course we all want more, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like I'd be okay.
You'd be okay with what it would say today?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, maybe.
I attach mine to like what's left behind too, though. You know what I mean? Like I feel like not a lot would be left, not enough, in my opinion, would be left behind for me. And that's why ultimately I wouldn't, you know.
I want to leave this world ready to die. Yeah. This is funny. Y'all seen Coming to America too? When that man died, it's a funny scene. But I mean, like he was like, "Okay, I'm ready to die now."
Yeah,
you did the accent. Do it again.
I'm ready to die now. But it's funny because like when you live your life to the best aspect, and you know you seek out true purpose, and you impacted this world, and you live the way God sort of ordained you to live, it's like you're okay with leaving this world. Earth. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a peaceful thing.
My grandpa. Sorry.
Sorry, man. Go ahead. I'm just joking.
My grandpa, before he died, what'd you call him?
The Candyman.
Yeah.
They called him that at the funeral.
Stop it right now.
That's what they said. Dre, we was at the funeral.
Yep, we were.
And they said the candy man.
He was listening to the preacher. He was raving more so. Not so much about the candy man.
Right. You remember that song off of...
He won a big jest.
Are y'all done?
You ever seen the original Willy Wonka? When it was in the store, like, you can see the sunrise. Yeah.
Anywho.
That's what I think about when you talk about your granddad.
So I feel like my grandpa was like that, which is like on like days where I'm like struggling. What are you doing?
Like, don't that feel like what you talk about? I'm like, that's a perfect background music, though.
Stop it.
Ain't that like, perfect background music?
No. Though? On days where I like struggle with, or if I'm like really having a hard time. All right, I'm done. It's the way he's looking at me when he's on it. You're a sicko. Don't do it again. I'm trying to tell a story.
Go ahead, I'm just joking.
On like days where like I'm struggling, like I feel like he was like that. Like I know that he had things that he wanted to do and like make correct in his life, and he did those things. So like before he died, he told each of us like something different. And then like the three things that he told me, he was like, I made my peace with God, I'm tired, and I'm ready to go. So I feel like he like had come to a point of like, I did the things that I wanted to do. Like I corrected my wrongs. Like I made peace with, you know, this situation. I fixed this. I've done that. Got my family back. Did this. I feel like he was like at a point like that, because like, even when like as tragic and like traumatic as it was, like it was also like a sense of peace in it, because he was just so like, you know, like he was just like calm, like knowing that you're about to die. None of us, if I'm not mistaken, know what that feels like. I know me. I'm probably like, not even a probably, like I'm gonna be off my rockers. But like knowing like, this is it. Like this is, because like that's a harsh, like that's a reality that you have to come to. Like, this is it. Like, these are my last moments. I'm about to die. I'm not leaving out of here. This is the last time I'm gonna see my family. Like, this is it. Mm-hmm. And for him to just be like, so like, he was like, the man asked for a popsicle, a damn popsicle. He asked if he could have a popsicle, then got mad and rolled his eyes at the nurse when she wouldn't let him finish it because he couldn't keep his mask off long enough. But anyways, I just feel like he was like at a place like that. And it was like that, like I found like peace in little things like that, like knowing that, you know, like he, my boy said he was ready to go. He did what he came to do. He lived 70, gave us 70 years, and you know, yeah, he did some stuff.
That's good. Yeah.
So I get that. Like, I'm ready to die. I feel like my grandpa was like that. I'm ready to die.
Joffrey Jaffer.
What?
Joffrey Jaffer.
Okay, well, him. Henry Henry. That's my grandpa.
That's to do that.
Well, that was my grandpa.
Henry.
No, you said Joffrey Jaffer, whatever. So I said Henry Jeffrey, Henry.
It was Joffrey Jaffer.
It was something like that.
I don't know.
King Joffrey. I don't know.
But you gotta be ready. I mean, you gotta live your life you gotta live your life on purpose.
Yeah.
Intentionally every day, so that when that time come, like, you're cool with it. Like, you'll never, I don't think you're ultimately always gonna be cool with it, because if you're a high achieving person, like when you start getting of age, it's like, man, I did so much in my good years that it's like, you know what? If tragedy hits me and I get sick, I can, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people, they so, because you haven't done enough, and it's like, you now you're in scarcity mode, because you get to the point in your older age where it's like, I'm finally getting some traction, and then that old age hits you, and it's just like, okay, now I gotta go. And it's like, you know, I'm just now getting a relationship with my kids, or I'm just now getting my money together, and I'm actually now just able to go on vacation where I can see the world. Like, do that stuff now while you got your best years. Like, stop waiting until, you know, on your latter years to start trying to live the best life. Living the best life, like we said, ain't about the clothes you wear and the materialistic things. Like, go see the world. Have a true relationship with your family. Don't wait till you about to die in the bed and trying to make it right with your family. Make it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, go see the world. Like, fall in love. Like, that's like we look at that like it's an experience. It's like, it's something that's like, die with somebody that you live life with. Don't die with your cats.
Maybe they live life with them cats.
Yeah, well, it's better to live life with a person.
They got a cat. than the actual cats.
You really have been people off your
dying. That's another thing. People dying single.
I want to die like dude did on Color Purple.
How'd you die? On Which top one? Of me.
Oh my God. You sound like dude off of Game of Thrones.
I want to leave right now.
Take us out.
Of me.
Please take us out of here.
Look, takeaways, be more transformative than you are transactional.
Absolutely.
And teach your children to be transformative than transactional. It's all right if you have nice things. I don't think any of us are saying don't buy nice things for your kids, but man, make these jokers work. Get these jokers some chores and you know, make them so that they can actually appreciate the things that they have. What else do we talk about? Write your own obituary and see if you like what you read after you're done writing it.
It'd be a humbling experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you write yours on? You just like, just wrote it?
Yeah, just sat down and type it out. Or like an app or something? No, just type it out.
I had an anthropology class I did it years ago. It's a humbling, it's really a humbling experience.
Yeah. Put some things into perspective. Who you are, you could change it.
I always put y'all in charge of when I die to kind of filter
get out.
Filter out my funeral. I know who I like and dislike.
What else do we talk about? Small takeaways. Correction. Being corrected without being offended. Don't be offended by your friends or your loved ones, whether it's family, friends, husband, wife, partner, whatever you call your person or whatever. Just if they didn't love you, they wouldn't be correcting you.
Yeah.
Out of love, as Nick said. And be more intentional. Just be more of an intentional individual. And every day of your life. Hey, play the moments, positive memories, stop the pain, keep the happiness on repeat. Peace.
Bye.